3, 2, 1.
Here we go! Welcome everyone to the No Normal Show brought to you by BPD. This is where we leave all things status quo, traditional, old school, and boring in the dust and celebrate the new, the powerful, the innovative, the game-changing, the future, all related to how brands can lead the way in health. I'm Desiree Duncan, Vice President of Health Equity and Inclusion at BPD, and I'll be your host for this episode. But also, I'm joined by newcomer Julie Bricker, VP of Media Innovations and Integration. Hi, Julie. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Not newcomer, but newcomer to the podcast.
Yes. You're a mainstay here at BPD, but this is your debut.
It's the debut. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, glad to have you. And we have someone that is no stranger to the show. Christian Barnett is back. He's the Chief Creative Officer here at BPD. Welcome back, Christian. Good to have you.
Likewise. Thanks, Des. Great to be back. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, we always love your takes on how to deliver more of the creative things that are going to change and shake up the world. So glad to have you here. In this episode, as you might have heard a little bit of a tease in my early intro, we're here to talk about some game-changing campaigns and also looking at how healthcare marketing leaders can create and help shape the recipe with us to bring these game-changing campaigns to life for your organizations. But to start us off, would love to hear kind of each of you, your thoughts on game-changing campaigns. What do you define as game-changing? And I promise I won't say that word again. I feel like I just said it like 5 times in a row. But we'll start with you, Christian. What's game-changing in your mind? I just lied.
Yeah, I guess when you ask that question, the first thing which comes to mind is that when someone does something new, other people start to do it as well. So it literally changes the entire way that people are thinking and coming to market. And do you want me to give an example or?
Yeah. We'd love to hear an example.
Well, I know you asked about campaigns, but the first thing which came to my mind was actually a company name. And the company name was Apple. And I think after Apple, well, I'm going to give you some examples. After Apple kind of like became prominent, then a whole slew. We had Orange in the UK. It was a telco. We had Blackberries around the world. And in the UK, we had Apricots, which were also computers. So lots of tech companies started calling themselves fruits, which I think, like, that's strange, but it happened. And I think that's because Apple started it.
Was that the first naming that occurred that was not kind of on the nose of what it is, or like a deeply tech, like an IBM, right? Like something that wasn't so deep in the tech weeds that it stood out in the market.
I think that was the plan. I imagine so. I mean, there's also disasters. Like I think PricewaterhouseCoopers, one of the big four accountants, decided to rebrand itself as Monday, which was a complete flop. Because I think on Tuesday, they decided that it wasn't a good idea after all, and like pulled it back. And, you know, like they'd spent millions on doing this. That wasn't such a game changer. That was a kind of complete fail.
It's like, how do you make sure that you do it right?
I guess. Yeah.
All right, Julie, I want to hear from you, given your background in media, kind of curious what stands out to you as game changing?
So for me, anything game changing is something that like stops me in my tracks. And whether that's in person and it's something I see, or if I'm scrolling on my phone and I have to click to read more, that is what's game changing to me. For example, like Heinz, well-established brand that we all know and love, except me, because I don't like condiments. I know, separate podcast discussion. They are, you know, super well-established. People recognize the bottle and shape without any logos or anything like that. And in Chicago, have you heard of this faux pas in Chicago about the how people take their hot dogs? So it's a thing.
Oh,
I've confirmed.
Yeah, that is a thing.
This is a hot topic right now. In Chicago, since you're going to be going there soon, you should know this, they only take their hot dogs with mustard. If you take it with ketchup, it is essentially frowned upon.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so what people have been doing, have been reporting the restaurants that don't serve ketchup And Heinz took to that and they put these interactive billboards outside of those restaurants so that people can literally do that, like, smack, the Heinz 57 smack, and get packets of ketchup outside of the places that won't serve it. So I love that they, like, had a story behind it and really leaned into this phenomenon that, you know, that's going on in the food industry in Chicago and really addressed it in a fun and unique way that got people talking about their brand.
Oh, that's awesome. I love when a brand kind of takes in a nod at, like, what's kind of going on in the culture or even just, like, the history of a place. Because, yeah, heading to Chicago soon and I'm in Philly, and, like, each city that I've been to, like, especially in major cities, they have opinions. They have a right way that you do things. It's their way, the Chicago way, the Philly way, and then everyone else is wrong. But love that. And my idea around what is game changing is kind of similar, and it's that who's taking advantage of kind of what's going on in the culture and plugging themselves into it in a natural way. So McDonald's had essentially what's in your order campaign about a year or two ago, and it asked various stars within the rap and music industry in general, you know, what's your go-to order at McDonald's? And then they offered it for a short period of time as kind of like a specialty or almost like that secret menu that got all kinds of traction and was just a game-changing moment, especially for some of these legacy brands. It's like, how do you keep reinventing yourself? You know, how do you stay on strategy? How do you stay kind of on brand, but like continue to innovate? And that's kind of what we want to talk about is, you know, how can we, what are the opportunities that brands have to create some of these types of campaigns? So curious, you know, what is it that it takes? I'd love to hear kind of your perspective on this, Christian.
What does it take? What does it take from the client and the agency, or is that what you mean?
Well, like looking at a brand in general, if they want to go out there, like what's an opportunity they have to do something game changing?
Okay, so I mean, I'll give a couple of examples, but I do think it takes. People always throw around that it takes a really brave and courageous client, and I kind of half believe that, but also it takes a really rational client. It takes a client who understands the marketing landscape, because why would you do the same as everybody else? I think every industry has its own like centrifugal force, and you know, things feel more and more the same the deeper you get into it. So clients who think carefully about what are they doing and what are other people doing and how do I need to be different is a good start point, not how do I need to be the same. And that doesn't require, it may require a bit of boldness and courage, but actually it's just thinking in the right way, which is what we're meant to do. You know, you can execute pretty safely, but still differently, or you can execute really bravely and differently. So I think being bold and courageous is a little overplayed sometimes. It could be sensible. An example, if you want an example, Des, would be telling the truth. And it sounds really simple. It sounds really simple. I just think that our category, there's no, you know, it's no surprise that there are dramas and there's, you know, always a TV drama or a film about hospitals and the drama in hospital, because it is a dramatic place where drama happens. It is literally a life and death, miracles, struggles, tragedies. And I wonder sometimes whether we should step into that, lean into that a little bit more. Because people in their real lives experience these things and they understand these things and they know that that's often what's at stake. And I don't know if our advertising always goes as far as people's experiences. And actually, in a way, we should be leading or at least with them in those experiences. I'll just give you one example. We were watching yesterday, we were doing a review on some oncology work. And one of the team showed it's a film by Macmillan Cancer Support. It's a UK film. And it shows things like little girls crying when they see this massive scar on their dad's head and they touch the scar. It shows a person being hugged because they've just realized that their partner has just passed. It shows joy and celebration and kids being thrown around in wheelchairs because they're doing great. It shows the gamut of emotions. And honestly, we just, half the room cried and the other half were just stunned because it was so powerful and poignant and true. And I just wonder whether, you know, brands which are prepared to go that little bit further and just, there's McCann Erickson, their slogan was "The truth well told." And I think sometimes we should lean into that a little bit further. I've spoken enough. I have other examples, but I think I've spoken enough right now.
Yeah, you're right. And I think about even just the kind of films that I like, right? I love a film that just guts me, right? Because sometimes I'm like, I need it to like feel things.
Yeah.
You mean like a crying? Mind. Like you want to cry?
Yeah. Yeah, like the movie Past Lives, right? Mm-hmm. And or the movie Nomadland. And just like I'm not a big crier, but like I felt those so deeply. And there is an opportunity in connecting with that human spirit, that insight that you just like nailed, that gives you that opportunity to really shake it up and change the game.
Yeah, totally, totally agree. Love those films as well, by the way.
Yeah. And I know that there was another direction. There's like the opposite, right? Like humor. There's been few times that we've tried to mix a little bit of humor in there as well. But it's like with healthcare, it's all very, sacred. And you want to put out more of this kind of a positive lens or focus or seriousness when it comes to health. But sometimes, like if we're looking at how meme culture is today, sometimes like, yeah, we just want to laugh or some of the work that we do with Shift, where it's getting at some of the dark humor, right, the nurses have that resonates. Like, is there an opportunity to do more of that from a consumer standpoint when it comes to healthcare?
I mean, I just think we, as you say, we have a meme, we have a cultural kind of reference point, which is people, let's just invent a scenario. And it's two guys in a bar. How often have we seen two guys in a bar? Doesn't matter what age, but probably, you know, mid-50s, middle age, something. And they're talking about their knee injury or their back injury or their neck injury or that funny thing going on around the corner injury, right? And then so Julie's giggling now. So that in itself just becomes a platform for humor. But the humor is so related to our health, and you could show women who are due to give birth, or women who have just given birth, or women who are dealing with kids of a certain age, or I don't know, it's any target audience member, there is an equivalent scenario. I mean, it doesn't have to be in a bar, it could be in a coffee shop, yeah, or a restaurant. It's just please someone out there, just do it, because we're longing for it. And it would be so, you know, memorable, I think. It would cut through for a start.
Yeah, you brought up a great scenario. Like, I think about a lot of times with the maternity, when we're talking about giving birth, it in a way it almost feels like it's from the perspective of like the first time parent, right? Of like, you know, how precious this is. But when you're on your second, third, fourth kid, you're like, you've been through it. You're
absolutely.
Like, talk to that experience. Cause there are, you know, tons of folks out there that have been through the rigmarole of it all. And they kind of want just something that connects to like what the true experience is as a second, third time parent, what have you.
Yeah. On number three, we were like, it's got two arms, it's got two legs. We can take it home. Fantastic. I don't want to be like a terrible parent. Cause number one, you're super super anxious. By number three, it's like, yeah, two arms, two legs, we go home, it's fine, good to go.
Yeah, it's like, let's box it up, let's go.
Yeah.
I got to go catch my show.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, Christian, you were kind of giving a lot of the creative expression example. Julie, I know you're coming from the media, the activations, like bringing all these ideas to life. I'm curious, given your expertise, what advice do you have for brands that are wanting to show up and make a splash?
So yeah, the first thing is you definitely want to have like a foundation. Like, I really don't believe you can do innovation and really unique activations unless your brand's established. Like, the innovation piece is like the cherry on top that really, really sets it forward and really makes that game changing. I'll use the word now since you already used them a lot. Game changing aspects. I think you have to be like the first to do it. To Christian's point, you don't want to follow in someone else's footsteps because then it's not new anymore, right? It loses its specialness, right? We have clients that everyone's like, I'm the number one, whatever. And like everyone's the number one in something. So what are you doing to stand apart from that? I think that's the biggest piece. The next is finding the white space. So where is there space in the market that's not currently being taken, right? Like we have a philosophy here of media ownership, which is we'd rather do a few things and invest in a few things and do them really, really well than just spread our budget too thin and not get the visibility that we need. So how can you own that space in a unique way? I think those are the biggest things. And one of my, I think probably the biggest challenge that I'm like, oh, this is such a pain point for me, is how quickly you need to move on it, right? You come up with this brilliant idea and you know, send it out to clients. And, you know, a lot of the times there's like levels and a lot of cooks in the kitchen, as we've all experienced before. And sometimes it just takes too long for your idea to come to fruition. And then you miss the moment. You have to be able to capitalize on the moment. So that's probably the three areas I look for when I'm doing that.
You know, when you're talking about like the moment, like it, this is all of this is kind of a team sport, or is a team sport and should be, right? So you're talking about like, okay, I've like, you're coming in from that media perspective, like, hey, I've got this big idea that we can do, but we need to jump on it. And so my thought is, you know, in order to really get that, make it make sense, right? You kind of need that, that creative brand, brain, that strategic brain to kind of help, like, how does, like, I have this idea, but how do we make it tie into the existing brand? And so that's where I kind of feel where like creative and media kind of comes together, but curious kind of you all's thoughts.
They do, and they have to work quickly. So like the other day there, you know, everyone knows about the major global outage from Microsoft the other day, right? And if you read through the trades, you saw KitKat jumped right on that. They flipped their digital billboards and they took this, the error screen that you saw on your micro, on your computer, and made it into their branding and said, you deserve a break, because they knew that people couldn't be working, right? So genius to be able to do that and to act and respond quickly, tying back to what I was just saying. You have to be able to be like, all right, let's go, and not wait, because if they did it, you know, even a few days later, it wouldn't have the relevancy it did doing it so immediately.
I love that.
Go ahead.
No, just thinking about like, I love that spark that's created when you're able to take on like, oh my God, there's this, not necessarily taking advantage of a situation, but recognizing kind of what's going on in the world and then being able to jump on it, but then also jumping on it in a way that makes sense for the already existing brand and like kind of what you stand for, which is like, you know, kind of taking a break, right?
I think so. Judith called out kind of speed and agility, which I think is really important. And I guess another thing is context. So having contextual communications. I mean, the fantastic example is One Medical, where One Medical asked people around the country to take pictures. It was dirty, basically dirty cities was the notion. Take pictures of dirty places in cities, send them back, and then the agency created messages which were in the place which the picture had been taken, where possible, directly related to that place. So if there was a nightclub which was really like dirty and full of rats or something, there would be a like a contextually appropriate message on the billboard next door. Now, those things are brilliant. I mean, the simple version, I mean, that was a big effort, because that was a nationwide, people sending data in and then responding to the data. But it was creative and media kind of working totally in sync. Another kind of easy example is one we often use, which is, if we're doing an ortho campaign, and I'll talk about Northern Light in a second, Des, but if you're doing an ortho campaign, imagine if you start walking up a flight of stairs, at the bottom it says, how's your knee feeling? And then halfway up the flight of stairs, it says, how's your knee feeling now? And at the top it says, if it's still a little bit sore, you know, call this number or text us right now or something. So it's contextual. So creative and and media are kind of working totally in sync. The Northern Light mention, isn't it, is where we were doing ortho and we had messages on a running, like a, I think it's like a running track or a pathway where many people run all of the time. Perfect kind of engagement, media, targeting, messaging, all working together, which is like, yay, which doesn't happen all the time. It should happen more than it does, to be honest.
I think one of the, I think one of the benefits to having everything under one roof is just that, right? Like a lot of clients, they may have a separate agency for digital and for media and for creative. And as much as they encourage everyone to, you know, work together, it probably more than likely isn't happening at the level it could if everyone was part of the same team and striving towards the same goal. So I love that, you know, we have that we're always working with Christian and Mindy and Vince and like all collaborating with our teams. And I feel like the end result is just so much better.
1000%. Like I do better when I'm collaborating or brainstorming with people than I do by myself. Cause like my mind wanders and maybe that's the ADHD in me, but the fact that like you have two of these sides of the minds that, you know, you can kind of set it up as working together to create something like really magical. But you know, we just shared a couple of actually healthcare examples of this. And I know that oftentimes there is this assumption that those who are kind of in a service focused industry don't always get to do the exciting kind of work that like the consumer brands do. But that just isn't true. We just share some examples, but like, you know, what are some other ways that we're able to kind of bust that myth to like push past our own limiting beliefs of what we can do? I think Christian, you had some ideas around how brands can show up in that way.
Oh, you mean like sort of like with the example about how, for example, people's shampoo is advertised all year round, right? It's we don't have a season. Well, perhaps we do. I don't know. My hair doesn't have a season where it needs a different kind of treatment from other parts of the year. You know, we you know, shampoo.
Hopefully, it's daily. Hopefully, your season is daily.
This is getting very like, I do shampoo my hair daily. I think when people, and also, I guess when people, because of the way people buy shampoo, they often have, they think that every so often they should change out their shampoo, right? Just to keep it up and, you know, just like change the dynamic because it's good for your hair. So the market's like, you're always in market and you're always looking. It's a little bit like breakfast cereal as well. You have a little like group that you're buying from. Now in some ways, I don't know if healthcare is hugely different. So I'm sorry if this is a little bit provocative, but I don't think cancer has a season. I mean, flu shots have a season. So you probably would be best off advertising flu shots in the fall so there are certainly seasonal. I'm used to using seasonal as an example, but I don't think cancer has a season in the same way. So why don't we think about being in market 365 days a year? Now, how we're in market is a different matter, right? But cancer doesn't delineate between months of the year, so why would we? We can have a little interesting campaign which drips all the way through. We can pop spikes in at various places if we wanted to or when we launch the campaign. But I think just thinking about these sorts of things a little bit differently, I don't think it's brave or courageous. I just think it's like common sense. So that would be one example if that's what you are after, Des. Yeah.
Yeah, it's... It kind of goes in, I think about, you know, it's the summer months, you know, we just had a couple of moments of like with Pride in June, right? There's always a conversation around, hey, we exist the rest of the year, not just the month of June, right? So there's opportunities to stay engaged, build relationships with various audiences outside of just like that particular month. Same thing with like Black History Month, right? I only see you talking about stuff in February, right? Yeah. I'm Black the rest of the year. But then there's also kind of the flip side of that. I mean, I imagine like Julie, you kind of probably have a different perspective knowing that there might be some other opportunities around kind of jumping on. So let's.
I do. So like, yes, totally agree. Any specific service line is important year round, But, you know, the clients don't have budgets for that. They don't, no one has budget to support year round. And then if you look at every single service line that you would want to fund and that would have the potential for a year round presence, you have so many messages in market at the same time. So they have to be sort of flighted accordingly. And sometimes around Awareness Month, there's definitely, like, you know, October for Breast Cancer Awareness Month, there's definitely key partnerships and sponsorships that we take advantage of during those timeframes, mainly because we want to own them and we want to make sure that the competitor's name's not on them. So we definitely participate in those months in that way. And we flip our billboards, you know, to have those messages during Awareness Month. But then there's definitely pockets throughout the year where we're constantly advertising those pieces. And I think the local market teams as well that are mainly focused on those specific service lines also, you know, show up in the community in their own ways outside of your traditional mass media campaigns.
And I think this is a really interesting and kind of live debate because if you know, Julia's right, you can't have mixed messages going into market, or not competing messages going into market, even though people looking at one message may not be, people looking at message A may not be looking at message B, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it does, I mean, the other way of doing this is to say, well, let's take it to a brand level, because a good brand work will, you know, like a rising tide floats all boats, perhaps all service lines will benefit. But then you get into a discussion about how our work is funded, you know, because sometimes some clients fund it by service line because they have funding by service line, so the spend is via service line. Some other clients have it as a big pot where they can spend against brand. So there's a lot, I mean, sorry to get caught in the weeds here, but it's just really interesting the levers that you need or can pull to get to those sorts of solutions.
Yeah, that's a great point, and kind of like that leveling field. It's like the ideal is to kind of have your brand ongoing all the time, and they may not notice it until there's that moment where they do need that knee surgery, that knee replacement, or what have you. And then that's when, you know, a lot of the stuff really kicks in. It also, I guess, goes for Julie, to your point around, like, yes, there is something very beneficial around having when people are talking about this particular lung cancer screenings or heart health during a certain month, or breast cancer awareness, you know, to be a part of the conversation, but then also finding that opportunity to show up in other ways. I guess I'm thinking about the precision marketing kind of things, where that's another way without just kind of having, you're kind of protecting your client's budget, which I know, Julie, you're always cognizant of. Mm-hmm. But there's also that opportunity to have something out there when that person needs it and have it readily available.
Yeah, I think too, it's tied to, you know, all of the client's priorities, right? Like what do they need? What volumes are they looking for? What areas are driving revenue to their business? So we're looking at it from a bunch of different lenses for sure.
Yeah. So what I'm kind of gathering from this conversation, like, you know, some of the key takeaways is that in order to stick out, in order to be a little bit game changing, you need to be a little bit vulnerable. You need to take that risk. You need to be able to jump on that opportunity is one way to do so. Another way is also just really connecting to the actual human experience, you know, whether that is through the truth and emotion or whether it's through humor and just demonstrating we understand what you're going through. These are all the ways that we love to see other pieces of campaigns and work out the world that resonates. But any other items that just from this conversation that have sparked thought in you?
For me, I think like a good idea can come from anywhere. Like, and that could be within the organization at any level. It can be with outside the organization. I get a lot of inspiration just from scrolling LinkedIn, right? And you see, you know, what other people are doing and maybe how what you, you know, just sparks that creative gene in your bone in your body, and to be able to think through like how you could take this and how you can make it your own. And I think people need to be afraid not to fail, right? Like when you're taking those risks of doing the unexpected and the bold moves, you're already like, all right, you got to be in it 100%. If it doesn't work, that's okay. And I feel like that's probably one of the pieces, you know, especially with some of the healthcare industry that's a little bit more conservative and maybe doesn't want to fully take the risk. It's so worth it because it's just going to be so game changing. And I just think that people need to be a little bit bolder, and that would make me happy. Like, that makes my heart full when people are bold.
That's like the saying, if you jump, if you leap, the net will appear.
Yeah, exactly.
Christian, do you have something?
Yeah, a couple of thoughts. First one is more of a media thought. I was always brought up in my job to think best practice, and Julie will know better than I will, to believe that, you know, when you're thinking about budget, it's like 70%, like, you know how it works, keep doing it, 20%, try something new, 10% be really innovative. So when we encourage our clients to be bolder, they haven't got to be, they haven't got to go completely crazy with 100% of their budget. You might isolate or try something 1 year, just give it 10% and then see what happens. So if you always leave that 10% as like an experiment 10% and you learn from it, you're always going to learn something. So it's not a case of you're not bold, you're bold. You can be appropriately bold in the right place in an ongoing basis. The second thing is that, you know, this conversation, as it always does with these conversations, it always gives me heart, because there are examples out there and we can think about ways of doing things which are different and are creative and are right for the clients, quite frankly, but we don't always get to. And I just think there's always like, we can do this. We certainly can do this. And just listening to the conversation today, thank you, Julie, so much, and Des, always like lifts my spirit a bit about, you know, what we can do. So that's my other kind of parting shot, I guess.
Yeah, I love what you said. It kind of reminds me of the diversification, right? You got to diversify your investments, right? You have the bonds for that safety. They're going to always be there. You've got your mutual funds and the whole stock market that's always going to, you know, bring it in. But then you save a little bit for that moment where there's a Google, a Microsoft, an Adobe that you put a little bit of money in and then it blows out for you. So diversify is a great way to look at that. All right, let's wrap it up. Christian, Julie, thanks so much for being here. And for all of you listening, thank you so much for joining in. If there's something you want us to cover on the No Normal Show, shoot us an email at nonormal@bpdhealthcare.com. Make sure to share the show with friends and colleagues and give us a review and rating on iTunes and Spotify, preferably 5 stars. All of that would be greatly appreciated. And until next time, don't ever be satisfied with the normal. Push that No Normal, y'all. And we'll talk to you next week. 3.